in 2 Corinthians 9, 1 to 15. Chapter 9, 1 to 15. I'll give you a moment to find it. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year in Achaia, were ready to give, and the enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gifts you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform in not only supplying the need of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. Because of the surpassing grace God has given out, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Let's pray as we stand. Father, thank you so much that you've spoken to us. Thank you that we don't need to guess what you're like. And we pray that you would tell us more of yourself as we look at these words now. Amen. Do grab a seat. How do you feel about giving your money away? It's not a subject we like talking about, is it? I don't know whether you've got little, whether you've got lots. How do you feel about giving your money away? If I'm totally honest with you, I find it hard. This is an area of Christian living that I personally find hard. I easily find myself daydreaming about things I could spend my money on, nice things I could buy with my money. I don't often find myself thinking, daydreaming about causes I could give to, Christian brothers or sisters in need that I could help out financially. How do you feel about giving your money away? I suspect I'm not the only person in the room that finds it quite challenging to think about, to be enthusiastic about giving my money away. And the other people that found it hard to be enthusiastic about giving their money away were the Corinthians, the people that Paul is writing to in this letter. And we're working through this letter chapter by chapter, and he's got to a couple of chapters where he talks about money. And this group of churches, this group of Christians, this church, had promised to give a gift. So So you can imagine it's giving day at Wood Green Church, Corinth, and the senior pastor stands up and he says, there's a cause and we need to give money to it. And they're singing the songs and they're listening to the talks and they say, yes, we're up for this. Give us a standing order form. And so they take the standing order form back and they're really keen. And then they put it on the desk and it stays on the desk for a long time. And Paul writes this letter to say to them, don't forget to give. Well, interestingly, he doesn't say, come on, cough up the money you promised you cheapskates. He says something very different. Look down with me at chapter 9, verse 5. He wants to renew their enthusiasm. He says this, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gifts you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. So he's about to give them motivation to give their money away. And he doesn't say, come on, cough up, we've budgeted for this money, for this gift you're going to give. Instead, he says, it's totally worth giving. I think the reason I often find it hard to give or want to give is it can feel like I'm pouring my money down the drain. What's the point in giving my money away to a good Christian cause? I'm just pouring it down the drain. And Paul wants to say that is totally the wrong way of thinking. Instead of far from pouring your money down the drain, giving to Christian causes causes a tidal wave of benefits that come in return. I don't know whether you've ever seen a tidal wave. I quite like watching clips of tidal waves on YouTube. And it's amazing to watch this footage, and it just swamps a whole city. And that's what's going on here is Paul says, when we give, there's overflowing blessings that come from God. Out of control, abounding, overflowing is what he says. It's not pouring your money down the drain, in other words. There's a tidal wave of blessing that comes in return. What is it that overflows then, I guess, begs the question. Well, number one, when Christians share their money in a generous way, the grace of God overflows in the life of the Christian. When Christians share their money in a generous way, the grace of God overflows in the life of the Christian. I've realized I haven't got my clicker. I wonder if the clicker could... that's great. So look down with me at verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So Paul is saying, when giving happens, what is the result? Christians give cheerfully, give generously. What is the result? Look down with me at verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Why does God want to bless us abundantly? You see the cycle so far? Christians give generously. Then, according to Paul, God blesses abundantly. To what end does he bless? So we can have a comfortable life. So we can enjoy total financial security. Verse 8, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. In other words, you'll be able to be generous. See that? Christian gives generously. God's grace abounds. To what end? For riches, for everything they've ever dreamed of. Well, actually, the main end that it abounds for is so that they can give generously. Same idea in verse 11. You will be enriched. So when a Christian gives generously, you will be enriched in every way. Why? So you can have that holiday you'd always dreamed of? No. So that you can be generous on every occasion. It's absolutely crazy, isn't it? It's so different to the way we often think. We think God's blessed me financially so that I can have a safe, kind of secure financial situation. And Paul is saying that when Christians give generously, God provides. Yes, he provides abundantly for them. To what end? So that they can keep giving generously. And in verse 6, Paul frames it. He kind of starts a section by saying, it's like a farmer going out to sow his seed. So what does he say in verse 6? Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So you can imagine, farmer goes out to sow his seed, and maybe he thinks, oh, this is valuable stuff, this seed. Don't know if I want to just chuck it on the ground. And he thinks, oh, I better try it. Okay, let's chuck it on the ground. Time passes by, rain, sun, etc. I'm not a farmer, but apparently that's what happens. Lo and behold, a few weeks later, harvest. Load more seed. So he thinks, oh, wow, I've got a load of seed. Okay, well, it's quite valuable stuff, this seed. What should I do with it? Should I just keep it in the fridge? No, I better scatter it. And then he gets a load more seed 4 weeks later. You see, Paul is saying that when Christians give generously, when they scatter their seed, they reap a huge harvest. To what end? To be rich, secure. Well, God promises that he will care for us. But the main end that he's working for is so that we can keep being generous. It might help you to think of it a little bit like this. These are some Jaffa cakes. One of my favorite types of biscuit. Actually. Apparently they're biscuit, not cake. Now, I look at these Jaffa cakes and I think these look really tasty. 12 Jaffa cakes here. I reckon I could eat them pretty quickly. I sort of feel like I should give them away. No, I've kind of got this lot of people here. You look quite hungry. I feel like I should give away Jaffa cakes. Not sure about this. Okay, let's do it. Right. AJ had his eye on these earlier. One for now, you know. Just one. Anyone else, Jaffa cake? Don't have to, but by all means, you know, don't be shy. Here we go. Oh, do you know what? I'm finding this quite hard to give away these Jaffa cakes because they look so tasty and just amazing. No, that's absolutely fine. Anyone for Jaffa cake? Yeah. Oh, okay, whoa. So I'm giving away a lot of Jaffa cakes. And there aren't many Jaffa cakes left. What's going to happen now? Oh, my goodness. Oh, we've got more Jaffa cakes. So, what? But they look so good. How great would that be just to eat all those Jaffa cakes? But I'm sort of feeling like I should give them away. Because, do you want a Jaffa cake? No. So I'm getting fewer and fewer Jaffa cakes. And this is, no. Oh, I'm starting to run out of Jaffa cakes. Oh, but, hang on a second. There are more Jaffa cakes. That's amazing. And they look so good. I don't know if I should give them away, because imagine meeting all those Jaffa cakes. You guys haven't had any. No? Yes? Oh, but... Again, I'm running out of Jaffa cakes. Anyway, you get the idea. Sorry, David. If you didn't get a Jaffa cake, I've got quite a few. You can have one at the end. The point is this. Well, Paul says, remember this, verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. When the Christian gives away... God blesses. God's grace overflows. God's generosity overflows. The grace to give overflows. Now, sometimes people twist these words and they make it sound like if you give your money to the church, God is going to bless you materially. But look how countercultural the words of verse 11 are. You will be enriched in every way so that You can be generous on every occasion. God is in the business of giving. And he says, come and be involved in that business. And the way we can be involved in it is not by keeping all the Jaffa cakes to ourselves, but by giving. When Christians give generously, the grace of God overflows. Sometimes I think about giving my money away as a downside of being a Christian. So I don't know whether you've ever thought about the costs and benefits of being a Christian. And you could think one of the benefits is going to heaven and enjoying eternity with the Lord. And firmly on the cost side, the kind of down the challenge side, is being sacrificial, giving away your money. Paul says that's not the case. Giving away your money is actually on the benefit side of being a Christian, the blessing side of being a Christian. Give generously, and I guarantee you that God will provide both practically what you need, and also, more importantly, the grace to keep being generous, the cheer, the joy to keep being generous. I don't know about you, but I think the most generous people I meet, the people who seem to give sacrificially the most, are often the most joyful. What does this actually mean in practice? Well, imagine a guy, Rob. Rob has been promoted to store manager at Tesco recently, and that means he gets quite a big pay rise. What is Rob going to do with his pay rise? Paul would say, there's absolutely no obligation whatsoever for Rob, to give his money to Christian causes. No obligation whatsoever. He is free. There's no compulsion. Verse 7, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. There's total freedom in this area. We should never kind of look around and judge people about this. But, Paul says, bear in mind that when Christians give generously, the grace of God overflows. So Rob decides, instead of living the lifestyle that the extra income would potentially allow him to live, he's going to give his money to support student ministry in Worcester. And he is safe in the knowledge that God's grace overflows in that situation. Or think of another person, Amy. Amy's just turned 17, and her allowance has increased, excitingly. And Amy's the only Christian in her friendship group at school. And they say, you can buy all these things you always wanted to buy. But instead, Amy decides to save up her money over a number of weeks so that she can support, in a little but meaningful way, the work that's going on at Gaines Manor. Very kind of small contribution, but actually, Amy's realized that when Christians give generously, they're not pouring their money down the drain. The grace of God overflows. That's the first thing Paul wants to say to the Corinthians, potentially reluctant givers. When Christians give generously, the grace of God, like a tidal wave, overflows into our lives and into our hearts. Secondly, Paul says, when the Christian gives generously, glory to God overflows in the world. Verse 11. This is mainly 12 to the end, but we kind of get a hint of it in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Verse 13, because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God. And verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's kind of surprising that, I think. Surely they should be thanking the Corinthians, not God. It's the Corinthians that are giving the money. And Paul says, no, no, we're going to thank God. People are going to thank God for this gift. It kind of seems a bit backward, doesn't it? Imagine you decide that from now until Christmas, you're going to save your money and you're going to buy your brother the best Christmas present ever. And so you save and you think about what he likes and you buy something and it arrives. And on Christmas morning, your brother opens the present and he loves it and he looks amazed. And he turns around and says, oh, thank you so much, Dad. Wouldn't make sense, would it? You'd think, hang on, I worked hard. I gave my money to give you that present. Thank me. So why is Paul suggesting that people are going to thank God for the financial gift that the Corinthians had given? Do you notice that? The kind of strangeness of it? See it again in verse 12. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Why is that? Well, this act of generosity, any act of Christian generosity, is ultimately empowered by the once-for-all act of Christian generosity. When God gave not some money, but God gave his son to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven. That is the ultimate act of generosity. And when we see Christian generosity in the world, however small it might be, we are pointed to the one-time great act of generosity. Maybe think about it like this. Imagine next Saturday, your friend says, do you want to come out for dinner with me and my family? And she says, my dad's going to pay for dinner. So you go out to a really nice restaurant in Worcester, and the dad says to the waiter, can I have two of your finest bottles of champagne? And you think, wow, this is giving me a good night. And the waiter brings over these two bottles of champagne, and you're amazed because they're really kind of high quality. And you're enjoying the champagne, and at one stage your champagne glass is empty, and your friend fills up your champagne glass, and you say, thank you. Okay, but think about who is the person that you should be thanking most in that situation. Is it the small thanks that goes to the person who's filled up your champagne glass? No, it's the one who's paid for the champagne. And in a similar way, Paul's saying this act of generosity that the Corinthians have given is only enabled by the one-time act of generosity of Jesus coming to earth and dying on the cross. That is why Christian generosity overflows in glory to God, because people look at these acts and they go, wow, your God is so generous. And we kind of think, oh, giving my money away, that's just pouring it down the drain. But actually, isn't it amazing to think that giving my money away, however little contribution it might be, is actually serving to point people to the God who is oh so generous. When I'm on the receiving end of someone's thanks, generosity, I try and remember to thank that person. I don't always remember. I don't often remember to thank God for that person's generosity. But Paul is saying that the person I should first and foremost be thanking is God. My parents used to have a guest book in their house, and I'd read through the guest book, and I'd see messages written, and they'd all say, I'm thanking God for your hospitality. And I'd think, why are they thanking God? Surely they should thank my parents who've given them a bed. But actually, thinking about this, it makes sense. Having someone in your house can be an inconvenience. But actually, we can welcome people and support them financially because God has welcomed us. When Christian generosity overflows, glory to God overflows. And that is a wonderful thing to be a part of. Maybe someone gave you a lift here to church for free. Use their precious petrol to give you a lift for free. Sure, thank them, but first and foremost, thank God, because that act, that one-time act of generosity has empowered small acts of generosity. Maybe you're going to enjoy some food tonight that someone else has bought and prepared. Sure, thank that person, but first and foremost, praise God for his grace. Because when Christians give generously, glory should overflow to God. How do you feel about giving your money away? Paul says, when Christians give generously, the grace of God overflows like a tidal wave in their life. And when Christians give generously, glory to God overflows in the world. Let's pray. Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Father, we praise you for your Son. Thank you that you gave him and did not withhold him from us. And we pray that as we consider that, it would change our hearts and we would know the wonder of giving, empowered by you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.